Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Walter Q. Bell Banks, what's up, man?
Oh, about 6'3", chilling. How you feeling?
I feel really good. Thomas Berry, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, L.R. Wilson.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello. Good morning. Good morning. We are in the building. Take down this number, 612-377-3456. We have to say it a little slow because they said we said too fast. What you think about that, Walter Q. Bell Banks?
612-377-3456.
Welcome to the Four Opinions. It is Saturday, 8 o'clock a.m. Thank you for getting up with us this morning. We are excited to be here. Y'all already know how we start the show. We got one minute for our rant for the day. Let's go. Who going to start it off? Q. Bear.
I don't have a rant for the day.
You know, really, I don't.
Oh.
I thought you were about to say you did.
You know, it's like, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. But the rant about it,
Nobody was in the street this week?
Rap about it.
Oh, they was in the street.
Oh, shit. They still ain't got it together. You've been talking about it for like 4 weeks.
All I got to do is say this, and they'll catch up to it. And if they don't, they'll get caught by it.
Mm-hmm.
It is if the cars are coming towards you, 10 times out of 10, you are in traffic.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Okay. Latoya, you got a rant for today?
Absolutely. Oh, I know y'all shocked because I normally don't rant.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So, and I love to upset Thomas. I wish y'all could see his head
his
shaking.
His face, right? He's always so irritable.
So my rant this morning is, if this is for both, no, this for the men.
Okay.
If you are trying to date, court, talk to, or whatever, a female, and they are leaving a venue, and you know that they're leaving, and you do not walk them to their car or to the parking ramp or their wherever they are, you allow them to walk alone. Ooh, Thomas upset. I like it. If you allow them to walk alone knowing that they're leaving, that's a problem. I was like, so that's a strike one against you.
Okay.
He was going out. Thank you. The chick. All right, let's go. What's your rant?
You go, and I'll think about it. Go, you go, and then I go.
You got to think about it. You ain't even got no rant there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't.
What? That's a miracle.
Well, I really didn't have one. But okay. Since LaToya talked today.
Thank you.
I might have a rant about her rant. But anyway. You know what? I really ain't got a rant. I got a common sense thing. And I think it's something in our community that we need to do away with. It is the beef between stepdads and dads, stepmoms and moms. You know, I grew up in a small town called South Bend, Indiana, and my stepfather and my father was actually drinking buddies. They were cool.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They were cool.
As they should be.
Mm-hmm. That was a time where I had to tell my dad some things that my stepfather did, and my dad had to, you know, let him know. That wasn't unacceptable. But they were cool. My uncles and my dad hung out, and my stepdad hung out with them, and that was just that. No problems, no issues. Sometimes I would be at my dad's house and my stepdad would come over to hang out with everybody else while they're grilling and just hanging out. I go home, my cousin, she's married, but her daughter's father is cool with her husband. I saw them just drinking and laughing and having a good time. So why do we have this beef between baby daddies and the new guy or baby mamas and the new girl? How about we like just own the fact that these folks are not family?
Mm-hmm.
They just felt this part of the family. Yep. The kids love them. Or the kids may not love them. But regardless of the fact, the person that you're no longer with has decided to move on, and so should you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
I concur.
Well, I mean, it was better than you not getting the hint dude was trying to get with the other chick, but it's okay.
Yeah, that's his loss. So, I do not care.
Thomas, that was a good one. I believe in that, too. Everybody should get along. So, moving right along to our topic.
Hey, you don't have a rant?
I don't have a rant today, actually.
Oh.
You know, everybody.
Write this down, everybody.
Everybody been getting on my nerves, so it don't, you know.
She don't want to seclude anybody.
I've been running home to my safe place so I could be happy. And at peace.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh. People weirdos. That's my rant for today. Stop being weird. Is that a good one, Q?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Moving right along. You realize if everybody's weird, that makes you the odd one out.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
I'm a special God.
Hello.
Created me to be special. Okay, so, you know, in saying that, that is a good segue. I always say a good segue to come to this today. I mean, March, right, is Women's History
Month. Yes.
We are celebrating all the beautiful women in the world. And I was very intentional this year to celebrate women that is out here putting in work, doing things that, you know, don't get recognized. And like we did get last week, some women do not want to be recognized or in the public right. eye. Mm-hmm. But we ran into this beautiful person. Mm-hmm. And she's in the studio this morning.
In the building.
Dr. Miriam Roby, correct? Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to KMOJ. We are so glad to have you here. And this is going to be a good topic because she gave me her card, right? Mm-hmm. And so I need the help because I need my...
Your eyes.
My eyes.
Oh, Lord.
And this is going to be good. This is going to be good because she's going to help us. So can you please give us her title?
Yes, this is Dr. Miriam Roby.
Miriam.
It's a whole lot of alphabets behind her name.
Okay.
However, it says Clinical Outcomes Director, Health Equity.
Okay.
Hey, yes. welcome. We're going to dig right on in because I am so glad that we had you here because I felt, you know, and a couple of people out, they actually requested you to be here. But we wanted to get right in. If you could tell us what your title is, when did you start with Hennepin Healthcare? Just give us a little bio about yourself.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Tiffany. And good morning, good morning out there. Good morning. The Health Equity Clinical Outcomes Director role, newly created at Hennepin Healthcare. Okay. So I'm the first to be in that position. And I started 5.5 months ago. What does that position entail is that there's disparities that are pretty much noted in our community. And it's mainly in the community of color. What my role is specific is that I'm to look at the disparities, look at the gap, and see how we can close them. I also practice medicine in the hospital medicine department at Hennepin Healthcare, so I see patients there. So they needed somebody who was clinical, who sees patients, but then provide it through a health equity lens.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, we need that. I know, this is. So we always go over what we're going to talk about before you got on, and we wanted to have a couple of questions. Again, you guys, take down the number 612-377-3456. She will be available to answer some questions. Number one thing when I was thinking about it was, being that you're in this position now, the first thing that came to mind for me was primary care. Mm. And I wanted to push, because we try to push the agenda in our community when we have this podcast, to know how important it is to have a primary care physician. I know, LaToya, you could talk about certain things that you went through. And I'm like, I had my doctor and health partners for like 15 years, yes. which made it better because she knew me and she knew like my history. We kind of built a relationship amongst each other. But how important is it to have one? Because I know a lot of people, and I put this on my notes too, appointments are like a month or so out.
Yeah.
So people are really just taking any. I just had to see a cardiologist. I'm guilty of it too, just for a follow up. And I picked the one that had the closest date that I could get in.
Yep.
And that's not cool because I had one in Atlanta that I was with for like 7 to 8 years. So.
Yeah. It's very important, Tiffany, very important. And, you know, having a primary care provider is essentially like having a team person, a collaborator in your care. And what they do is that they have that conversation with you about your health. They know you, your history. They know about your kids.
Right.
They know about everything that went on in your life primarily. And you have those open, transparent conversations about how you would like for your health to be treated. If I could go into a little bit more, chronic disease management is very important to why you have a primary care provider. That's not the only reason why you have one, but that's where you want to make sure that when you do have different things that may be afflicting you, such as diabetes, asthma, hypertension, things of that nature, you have somebody like you talked about who's known you for years.
So what are some, I know we talked about it prior to us going on air, what are some of like the chronic diseases that that will be important to get you a care doctor to make sure that they're following?
So all of them, and even if you have none of them, you should start having a primary care provider.
Absolutely.
Just off top. You know, as soon as you hit 21, you should. So Under 21, individuals would still probably stay with their pediatrician.
Right.
After 21, then that you would switch over and you would find a primary care provider. Annually or once a year, you should be seeing a primary care provider, whether you have a chronic disease or not. They can give you a full blood panel. They can have conversations with you about mental health.
Yeah.
They can talk to you about, you know, other things that may be afflicting you that you may not even think mm-hmm. is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, pressure in your stomach where you may need to have screening
right.
and it may lead to something else,
right.
things of
right.
that nature.
Yeah, because I know that you had to.
I know that the person that I confided in was my gynecologist because
mm-hmm.
I didn't have a primary care doctor in the beginning. I didn't even know what a primary care doctor was, to be honest, because I've only seen a OB
mm-hmm.
and a gyno. That's all I've seen my whole life. Well, in the dentist, because I love my teeth.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Thomas.
Mm-hmm. And so it was my gynecologist knew all of my things, mm-hmm. you know. And so when I was diagnosed with depression, she was the one that did it. When because she gave me this quiz, like she was just asking me these questions, these weird questions, and I'm answering them. But she was the one that noticed that I was not the same person
mm-hmm.
and gave me a referral to go and see the therapist and to get a primary doctor. I didn't
right.
even know what a primary doctor was.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it had not been for her paying attention and knowing all my business, knowing how. All of my business.
Right. Literally.
Literally.
It's like your best friend that's
right.
in the medical field.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If it were not for her, I don't know if I would have ever been diagnosed with depression or anything, because mm-hmm. you're walking around here, everybody see you,
mm-hmm.
and as a woman, I could,
yep.
for myself,
mm-hmm. especially
I function normally.
That's
yes,
right.
I function
that's
normally,
right.
so nobody could really see it,
mm-hmm.
but she saw it. So
mm-hmm.
having that connection in the medical field is crucial.
That's right.
It's very crucial.
That's right. And I just want to mention, you know, we talk about, because here in the room, we're all Black women, and then mm-hmm. we have two Black men. And what we are used to is we are used to trauma.
Yes.
And with that trauma comes a certain response, which what you mentioned is that we keep it internal. We don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't complain. We keep it inside, right? And then that's to our detriment. Why are we not having conversations about mental health?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it a stigma? Why is it that individuals are treated differently because
yeah.
they want to be open and they want to feel well? You have
right.
to look at it almost, if you had a pain in your knee, right? You're going to take ibuprofen for it to help take away the pain in your knee.
Right.
It's the same thing as mental health.
Right.
You're just not feeling up to your baseline, right? Which is, you know, the happy
mm-hmm.
person that likes to go work out, as you mentioned,
yeah.
things of that nature. How do you and your team get together and get you back to that state?
Right, right.
So how, as working at Hennepin Healthcare, how would you come up with the disparities? Like, how do you have people come to you to know what is needed for us that we don't have?
That's a very good question. You know, I'll be the first to say we at Hennepin Healthcare could do better. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to be here with all of you to have this discussion. We're not doing a very intentional way of having outreach to the community,
mm-hmm.
listening to the community, hearing what the community wants, right? And so that is something different in my role, is getting out there and having conversations with individuals like yourself. What is it that Tiffany wants to have us do at Hennepin Healthcare, right? What is it that would make you want to seek care at Hennepin Healthcare versus the other institutions in the Twin Cities, which we're not knocking them, right? We would want you to get primary care anywhere.
Right. Right.
But at Hennepin, we know that we are being intentional as far as community focus, culturally sensitive care. And that means looking at the metrics, looking at what is going on in the community, having these discussions and hearing what you guys are saying that we need to do better with.
Yeah. Take down the number 612-377-3456. And it's so, you know, good that you said that, doctor, because even like dealing with mental health illnesses, like what I've been learning, because we have, it's about a huge percentage of people that's being diagnosed with mental health is just like
mm-hmm.
schizophrenia, all the stuff we talked about on the show before. And to understand that these hospitals and the places that they go are less like overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
with patients. and personally just dealing with it, like you go in there and it's like they're there for like 72 hours and then they're released. Mm-hmm. And to just figure out how, like, they get them stable, but then they're out and they don't have follow-up. They don't have, you know, therapists to go to. They don't have a regular medication schedule. Like, they're just there and they leave. And it was like, it was so funny. So, because I just found out some stuff, like, they're having people in the mental health in the emergency room, which is just temporary or whatever. And they're, like, giving them high dosages of medication just to get them, you know, okay to go out into the community or be regular, but they're not on the thing to be like, and it was like, these medications are not supposed to be given at that high dosage, you know? So that's another thing that we was talking about. I'm so glad that you're in that position to help out. Another thing that we was talking about, preventive care. Because we always, well, most of us almost hitting that 50, and you know, we, and you know, we living our best life right now, and it's
being
like
fabulous,
right? And we talk about that, and it's like, I was thinking about when we talk about this at home, because like I said, I always talk about these discussions before we get on here. And like, you can go in and be like pre-diabetic. They could be like obesity. They could be like your blood pressure, the bottom number, I don't know what the two ones is, but the bottom one is high, and you know, we push it. Push it, push it, push it. Do not change anything. And then all of a sudden you hit 50. You are a diabetic. You have high blood pressure.
I told you 7 years ago you was on your way and you just arrived.
They tell you. However, they do not give you this map to change it. So that was another thing with this position. I know that it came in. I wanted to know, what will we be doing to get the preventive care and wellness before? Because we should not keep saying, I mean, that should not be the norm that we keep on saying, when we 50, it went downhill.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure we could change it prior to that if we push it.
100%. Yeah. And that's such a good question that you asked, such a good question, which leads into why primary care, right? And so if you're establishing somebody from the very beginning, you're seeing them every year and they're testing you, they're having your vital signs, and then if there's in between times where something may occur and you need to go see them, they already have your history. We have the electronic health records now. Most Twin Cities institutions have that. And even if you are one institution and it's not Hennepin Healthcare, we can access those records for the most part, right? And so if you're seeing someone on a consistent basis, this is history that we're looking at. And we can say, you know what, Tiffany, we saw when you were 30, you know, you were starting to show some signs of diabetes because of the tests that we were doing. And then what we would say is, Tiffany, we need you to go out and exercise more, maybe change the diet.
Yep,
we
understand. Because I invited her to come exercise.
And exercise. and me too, right? I just, you know, I had to, and this was a journey that I had to, self-care is, it's hard, especially with us having so many demands. We have family, we have our career, we have outside things that are taking our time away. But what we have to realize is if we don't take time for ourselves, it's going to, we hit 50, go all downhill. But it doesn't have to hit 50 and things go downhill. 50 is not the marker, right? It's not the marker. I mean, you see some 50-year-olds that are healthier than some of our 20-year-olds nowadays. That's just because they took consistent care and had that collaboration with their primary care team.
So what does that look like for you? What would you think about, I know because you're in the planning, you only been in there for 5 or so months. What would that look like to you for our community for the preventive wellness and
healthcare? Perfect. That's a good question too. And so I do want to highlight, even though I've been in this new role for 5 months, I've been in healthcare for 20 years.
Okay.
And so I've been practicing medicine for 10 of those 20 years. So I was a registered nurse for 10 years and then I went back to grad school and then started practicing medicine. So in the medicine field for the last 10 years. And in that space, what I tell everyone, loved ones, myself, patients, it's a continuum. You have to take intentional focus on yourself and partner with a primary care provider. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just one. If initially, say, you go to that person and it works, great. If you say, right, you know what, you want to transfer, that's okay too. You know, you want somebody that fits you. This right. is somebody that's going to work with you on the long term. So you go in, you be seen, you have that annual visit. Most insurances, they cover an annual visit. It's free, right. typically for most insurance. Why are you not maximizing on that free, you know, assessment where yeah. it's 45 minutes of all about you? You sit there and you have this discussion with the person and say, this is what I'm going through. They take some tests. They say, you know what, this is what we want to trial. We want to see you back in 3 months. And then let's have this continuous conversation.
Hmm. I know one thing, you spoke a lot about the test.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to understand that you can ask for a test.
You yes,
don't
you can.
Have to. If they tell you no,
that's right,
they're required to give it to you because you've asked for it. Now,
right.
there have been doctors that you know something's wrong with you.
Right.
Like, you know something right. is off, and you was like, well, I need to test for this because, you know, we will WebMD our whole life mm-hmm. and Google it. It's like, I need all
terrible.
This is wrong, so I need this test.
Mm-hmm.
And people are afraid, mostly in our community, are afraid to ask for those tests, but they're supposed to give you
that's
those
right
tests.
And thank you for saying that mm-hmm. right, because that's a narrative that we need to change.
Okay.
We need to change that, not only in the Black community but all communities of color. So we have to really look at the historic history mm-hmm. of medicine. Right. Medicine was not a foundation that was fair for all. So in that, do we need to do better and change? Yes, we do. That was Hennepin Healthcare's answer, was by even creating my role, because we're having disparities that we note that are in the medicine field. How can we change that? So let's go back to your question, right? So you asked about advocating for yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what you need to do. Absolutely, 100% advocate for yourself. Educate yourself. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the internet. I wouldn't say WMD, you know, but, you know, there's the CDC,
right.
there's the NIH,
yep.
there's the WHO, there's all kinds of research out there, right? Educate yourself. Mm-hmm. You look up the same things that some of us, we have to do too, right.
right?
And then you have that conversation with the medical provider and say, you know what? In addition to the test that you're already drawing,
right.
I want you to consider this, and this is why.
Right.
And they yes. have to hear you. And if they don't, that's when you advocate and say, you know what, either maybe this is not a good fit for me and mm-hmm. you, because I don't feel that you're listening to me.
Right.
Or, you know, you look for a different team member. But you strongly should advocate for your, it's you.
Right, right.
Right. Can't nobody know more than you.
Right. About you.
Right. Yeah. And that's right. so crazy, because like I said, last week I had my primary physician. Me and her been together now for quite some time. But it's like, I've been extra tired. And I'm like, when I went on my health partners or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was like, look, I need you to take this test. This something is off. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm super tired. I'm always busy and tired, but this is a different kind mm-hmm. of tired.
Right.
And when I did the test, it was actually like the low vitamin D.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. And I'm like, something is off with my body.
That's
and
right.
because you have to know, like
that's
you said,
right.
what you need.
That's right.
Which leads to also talk about, let me give you this number again. If anybody want to call in that's listening this morning, she is here to answer questions for you. 612-377-3456. Before I get to this question that I wanted to ask you, Dr. Roby, what will be some of the things that, if you wanted to connect with a primary doctor, what are some of the things that you need to look for to pick your perfect doctor that you would like to have? And I know we can't always say like African-Americans, shortage of it.
Right.
We need to talk about the realistic part of it. Oh, I want a black doctor. They are a black doctor. They are overwhelmed and there's not that many.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you're going to have to find somebody to connect to for your health care.
Right,
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and that actually, I'm going to bounce off of that just quickly. And for all intents and purposes, that's why we're being intentional at Hennepin Healthcare, so that all of our, not only our primary care providers, but all providers are being, treating our patients with culturally right. sensitive mm-hmm. care. So we're making sure that they have that access to that education. Also having providers of color, having conversations with those providers is important. Right. And that's where we're being intentional within our organization. Yes. It's not just where we're just saying, you know what, let's leave it to the community to fend for themselves. We have to take some ownership in that right. as a healthcare institution. And in that ownership, what we're saying is that the community is important to us. Mm. We hear you. Right. Specifically what you just said, we hear you that we need to do better as far as being intentional, understanding culture and how culture affects not only our entire makeup, but it's our food, it's our religion, yes. it's everything, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to have these conversations about that. So going into your specific question, so yes, you know, you go into primary care spot. We have East Lake Clinic, mm-hmm. for example, right? Our East Lake Clinic was right there in the heart of the riots.
Yes.
Right there in the heart of it. And the individuals that worked there were there and have to partner with the community who now has this post mm-hmm. George Floyd murder trauma, right? So what they did in answer to that is they built a trauma-informed care model within their clinic. Nice. What does that mean? That means that they listened, they heard, they seen what was happening to the patients as they were coming into the clinic. And then they started, so like the artistry that's in your wall right now, they were intentional to put the same artistry murals, but they had a conversation with the community. What would you want to see mm-hmm. on the wall? Not just their own thoughts behind it, but what would you want to see? What would make you feel welcome coming in, mm-hmm. right? They have the pictures of all the individuals who would partner in your care on the wall.
Oh, nice.
Their names, what they do, introducing themselves so that you know who it is that you're planning to partner with. And not only with the provider, but that goes down to the nurse, the nursing assistant, everyone like that. And so that was some of that intentionality that our clinic decided to take. And so that's where they're wanting to say, you know what, to the community members, we heard you. We want to participate in your care. We want you to be the best person that you can be. And if coming in to see us is a calming moment, just for a moment, so that we can discuss what's going on with you health-wise, then that's what we're going to do.
We got a caller. After the caller, we got a comment.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, caller. Good morning.
Good morning, sisters.
Good morning.
I was calling. And my name is Michelle Jordan. And, you know, I've been at HCMC for a couple years now. I went from there to, the U of M campus, East Campus, to there. And I changed providers because something happened to me. I had a surgery done, and I don't know what to do about it. It's been 4 years. I've been ill now. I went in the hospital during the pandemic. I was teaching over at KIPP, and I decided I would go ahead and have my knee surgery done. I ended up having a full knee replacement at the U of M, and I'm so baffled and just so discouraged, depressed. I mean, you name it. In pain, I'm living with daily pain. I have burns from the top of my head down to the sole of my feet. Mind you, I went in with no diseases. Only thing I had was just asthma and diabetes. And, you know, I take metformin for that. However, do you know I came out of there with 3 skin diseases? after 2 weeks of the surgery, I went back to the same surgeon who did my surgery over at the U, and I asked him what was these things all over my body. He said to me, it looks like scabies. I had that not long ago. So I know. He says, but I can't do anything for you. You need to get in contact with your primary and make an appointment. Well, you know, it was appointments way out, you know, yeah. But I finally got in this year. And let me tell you, do you know that the stuff got in my blood? And I treated myself. I went and treated myself. You know, I went to get some over-the-counter lice. I mean, you know, stuff for what he said that he thought I had.
Yeah.
Mind you, the man admitted to me, he said what he said, that he had that not long ago. In my deep heart, I believe that he was not in remission of it and passed it to me. And now I have Morgellon skin disease. I have something called Prutus Nicolarius. Doctor, you might have to help me out with that. I know how to spell it, but I don't know how to pronounce it correctly. And then I have dermatitis. And I'm like, how did I get all these, you know, lesions all over my body? And, you know, I don't look the same.
Right.
Well, for 2 years, mind you, I said two years, of this four, because March 9th made 4 years. I did not come out of my house.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go nowhere. My daughter, she, you know, she's seen her mom transform before her eyes.
Right. Okay, Carla. Carla, we gonna let the doctor see if she can give you some advice to move forward with you, a plan. Seems like she need an ASAP plan to move on to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. And so are you continuing to utilize our services at Hennepin Healthcare, Caller?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I am. And it's just like, they, you know, I asked for a blood test. I would like a blood test. I asked my doctor, who I have now, is at HCMC, and I still haven't gotten it. You know, I want to know what's really going on, you know, to know that there's no cure for something, mm-hmm. for two diseases out of three that I obtained, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what to do. I'm like, you know, everybody say, go get a lawyer, go get you a lawyer. You know, I want to get well,
right.
you know.
I'm
looking like this.
Right. And, you know, and that's when we talk about the importance of making sure that you can advocate for yourself mm-hmm. by asking for the things. And like you just said earlier in the show, mm-hmm. if that person is not working for you, it is okay to move on to someone that will answer your questions.
That's right.
Do some of the things that you need them to do. Like
that's
I said,
right.
I sent one of those e-visits and was like, I'm feeling tired. I need this right. test, thyroid test. And I just went for the things that's
right.
for our culture. Thyroid, vitamin D, liver function. I named the things that's most common to our community, to our culture. And I was like, and they did the test, you
that's
know?
Right. That's right. And again, you're staying on top of your care. Caller sounds like she's staying on top of hers as well. You continue to access the electronic records. You have full access to mm-hmm. that. It's your records. You also continue to partner with your primary care provider. And if you need to ask the primary care provider to pull in specialists, that's something that's, you know, allowed too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So you had mentioned, you know, there's skin, you know, there's different providers that work. Dermatology is one. Infectious disease is another.
Yeah,
these are individuals that would partner with your primary care provider so that they can collaborate to make sure that you get back to your healthiest. You know, I hope that you continue to partner with your primary care provider. It sounds like they're really trying to work with you to get good care. I hope that you continue to persevere. You know, I hear the sadness in your voice and I hear the frustration. And, you know, I acknowledge that for you. And I hope that you continue to push through because we need you to continue to promote for your own health care.
Yep, that's good.
And prayers up to you, by the way. I just want to make sure, you know, I heard your pain in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are, you know, being told that there's things happening to them that there's no cure for,
mm-hmm.
or they go in for one procedure and they end up with something else that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So my question for you, Doc, and I, you know, I always ask this to medical professionals. How is it that insurance companies are able to predict your life expectancy based off of your zip code?
Mm.
And how come we're not aware? Like, this is not public knowledge. Like, I know this because I was married to a nurse.
Mm.
So I've always had this conversations. And even when she worked over at UCare,
mm-hmm.
this was our conversation. But the average person doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why is it that they're able to predict that based off of your zip code? Is it the air? Is it the water? Or is it just the quality of care that people get in those zip codes?
So that's a very good question. Outside of my scope, I'm just going to be 100% transparent. So when we see patients, we kind of stay in our lane of seeing patients, right? And then we bill, and then the organization takes that bill and then sends it to the healthcare institution that you may be frequent for your insurance, right? And so with that, that institution for insurance has their own parameters, their own designations of what they accept in the bill or not. What I can say to you, though, in the same spirit of collaboration and advocating for yourself and care, is that you have access to that bill, right? If you don't get it mailed to you or if you don't get it online, you can ask the insurance company for an itemized formatting of your bill. And in that, you will see the things you were billed for. If there's questions that you have about it, you have a question with your provider who billed you for that. Why was I billed for this? Can you help me understand this? What was your rationale for that? And that's where you continue to partner with your primary care provider or any other provider in that regard as far as your care. Now, what you kind of highlighted, because you said you dated a nurse.
No, I was married to one.
Oh, married, my bad. And so it was talked about social determinants of health, which is very, very, very important when it comes to our community. In that we are afflicted, especially if we're living in centers such as urban communities where we are having constant pollution and things of that nature, right? So that is something that goes even deeper than medicine. This is something that has been, you know, with redlining, and I'm not going to go into all the, you know, defining natures of that. But again, that's the same systemic differences that we have to try to work around, but we're trying to be intentional at Hennepin to know that we recognize that and how do we help you help us make you at a healthier spot.
Well, I got a statement and a question from the chat. What I always go in, when I go to the doctor, I always ask when they give me a diagnosis of anything, is this the white diagnosis or the black diagnosis? I always ask. Because I want to make sure that they're giving me the best care possible. And I'm always like, I read people quite well. Like I sit in a room with people, I ain't got to say five words to them. I know what they, how they feel and they thinking based off of their body languages, their facial expressions or what have you. And I know, you know, when you don't have a primary care doctor, you may, like during COVID, it was hard to get a primary care doctor because you had so many. And you had some people that just really, I mean, because COVID was so high in our community, they were treating black folks, especially black men, differently in appointments. So it always, you know, when I would hear brothers say that, hey, man, I went in there, it was almost like a drive-thru. I went in there, it was like 3 minutes. They really asked a lot, didn't want to touch a lot, you know, and it was like, okay, 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 you good, and let's go. And so that was my statement. But Chris, who was a listener of the show, he said he changed his primary doctor all the time. They don't tell me the right things. It's like they just patch you up, sort of like what I was saying. Put you on pills because I have high blood pressure and they are not telling me how to get off. You know, so the question is, there an agenda with the drug administration and the doctors or the medical field to keep you on meds, whether it's a mental thing or a health thing, and the pills just give side effects.
So going back, Chris, and thank you for your question, is to recircle back on the importance of having a primary care team that you've known for a long time. And even if you don't know them for a long time, at least make sure that you get to know them very well. I want to just sideline to, you know, your statement, and what what's unfortunate is that I would hope that either of your answers, whether you've seen a white primary care doctor or a Black should be the same. So I just wanted to sideline into that and just say that that's the reason why we're making sure that we're having intentionalities with our conversations that we're having within our organization. So I just wanted to sideline into that because that should not be a disparity that you have to deal with, right? The white provider should be treating you just as good as the Black provider, or I shouldn't prejudge. It could be the Black provider should be treating you just as well as the white. I don't know where you're going with that, but what I'm saying is that it should be an even playing field and it should be equitable. And that's the whole reason for the health equity piece in my title, because of the fact that we need to make sure that health is equitable across the board. Going back to what Chris had mentioned is that that's where the primary care focus is very important. You have those collaborations with your team. You make sure that you advocate for yourself again. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you have chronic disease, Chris, you know, and mentioned the hypertension and things of that nature. You also have to partner in your care. This is a partnership. This is a collaboration. You have to look at it as you are a team. And if you're seeing that your blood pressure is not being managed on certain medications, you reach out to your team member, right? Mm-hmm. If you're feeling drained, as Tiffany had highlighted to us earlier, you go and you talk to your team member and find out that you have low vitamin D and that they get you on vitamin to raise that, because low vitamin D also can lead to depression, right? Mm-hmm. And so that can also affect your depression, even if you're on medication. So that's where you talk to your team member. You got to look at it as a team.
And
I wanted to clear up. What I wasn't saying was that they were treating me different based off race. I was saying my question was I getting the Black diagnosis or the white diagnosis, meaning are you treating me like you would treat a white person?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is always, because they feel like, especially when it comes to pain, I've seen the studies where they feel like we have high tolerance
of
pain.
That's right.
So they don't give us medicine the way they would give white folks.
That's right.
Or they don't give us medicine. And I'm only asking you this because it's your position
Please.
Is equity.
Yes. This is right in my lane. And we actually had a panel discussion yesterday on that very thing. Mm-hmm. We had a panel discussion. We had 60 physicians in a room. It was a panel discussion, and that was the very discussion that we had. How do we make sure that doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. Because it's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not true. Black individuals don't have a higher tolerance. Everyone is human. We have the same DNA, but that's the social construct that we're having to pivot between, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is where, again, we continue to have the intentionality and having the conversation with people like yourself to say, you know what, I feel that I'm being treated different. And then in our answer, we need to change that.
Right. And I appreciate you for answering that because so many of our people, and I'm talking about Black folks, because you can have a conversation with white folks about race all day long and they're willing to have it, but Black people just don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know from talking to other people in medical fields, they always complain. Like if I got Black friends who are doctors or nurses, they always complain about that, like where they would have to check their colleagues and say, hey, why is that person light on? You know, and they're asking you for this medicine. And you know, you got somebody else two stations down and you would give them the pills. But why aren't you giving them, you know, this woman here the pills? She's saying she's in pain. Why would you make her wait all this time?
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference is color.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people don't really understand that. So in our community, we blame each other
a lot. That's right. That's right. And thank you for that. And small little shout out, and I know Tiffany that you wanted to say something, a small shout out to my boss who is Dr. Necka Cederstrom, and for the exact part that you mentioned, she is the one that asked for this role to be created. Mm-hmm. Right. And then a lot of the things that are happening that are changing at Hennepin Healthcare is because of her. She is our Chief Equity and Inclusion Officer. She's directly in executive leadership with our CEO. And she has these conversations. She's a Black woman. Having these conversations, very intentional conversations. Right. And then to get my role, she allows me to have these conversations with others because of that. And so I appreciate you saying that.
Thank you for answering.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that we were also talking about was the take down the number 612-377-3456 if you want to come in or call in with Dr. Miriam
or come in
right, you know, meet us downstairs
through the five doors
so it was another thing that now that you're in this position, mm-hmm. which has been the biggest thing that we've been talking about, started probably like in 23-24, mm-hmm. breast cancer awareness.
Yes. Yes.
We were talking about the earlier age to get the mammograms, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So is that in the plan with this position to be able to get the early detection?
Wow, Tiffany, you're reading my mind.
Yeah, right? Yeah, we're pushing that, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm wearing my pink in support.
I saw that.
Even though it's not so breast, thank you. Thank you. It's not Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is October. However, for us, breast cancer screening awareness should be every month.
Yes. Yeah.
Every month. And I don't want us to just focus on October, right?
Right.
And so to your point, I'm just going to read, from our breast cancer. So it mentions that most individuals there's about 42,000 U.S. women and men. So mm-hmm. not exclude the men here, right? Because men also have breast tissue, okay? But 42,000 U.S. women and men we lose due to breast cancer.
Yes.
That's astounding, right? And if we need to screen, that's where we're intentionally reaching out to the community. You literally go into your primary care provider and you say, I want to be screened for breast cancer.
Yeah. Right. Because we didn't make it kind of about, we got one call and then we'll come back to it.
Caller, go ahead.
Hey, so I've just been listening to the conversation. Hey, Thomas. Hey, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi, doctor.
Hey.
Good morning.
My first question is, so I'm going to start about the breast cancer because that's where we are right now. But then I want to talk about the previous caller and some things that are kind of disappointing to me with this whole conversation. The first thing is for breast cancer and breast cancer awareness, what are the alternatives? I love the fact that everybody is on the air. You know, you guys are on the air, the doctor is on the air, and we are trying to get to some of the bottom of things for our community. But nobody's talking about the alternative options for these people who are afraid of the doctors because a lot of trauma and things that have happened since COVID and prior to COVID. Just like the young lady said, when she went into the doctor's office and the things happened to her and now she's come out and she has no one to give her an explanation as to what happened or even, for lack of a better word, she doesn't have anyone to blame. What are her alternatives? No one has given her a an overview of some things alternate that she can do to help herself. And I'm a medical courier, meaning I go in and out of these hospitals all day. I'm, in fact, sitting in front of a hospital right now that I have to go in and collect specimens. I went into HCMC, and that is, I feel very discouraged and disappointed for anyone who gets care there. So where do you start when it comes to what that hospital is looking like? What sort of funding is going on there so that people can get proper care? And then for breast cancer, I'm 41, and it's time for me to get screened. I don't like the process. I like the old method where you use your fingers and your hands, but squishing and doing all these things. To me, I think with a scientific brain, and this may sound silly, but how is that process not causing lumps or bumps or the spreading of cancer or any of those things? So for people who think like me, what would you say to those people? I know that was a lot, but
yeah.
These are the things
and
that
so
I'm
going to
let this whole...
Yeah, and I'm going to let Dr. Miriam answer the question. But here's the thing that we're not talking about the alternatives. What we provided today was a platform so you can ask about the alternatives, so you can ask about what can we do afterwards. Because no one, like she said, no one really knows. But this is why we have someone, a specialist in here to be like, okay, so we can offer, and that's a good question that you can ask. What is the alternative? Instead of saying that, we're not talking about it. We created this platform platform to talk about it. So exactly. That's just my little two cents about it. So.
Thank you. And in color, I accept, you know, all of it, right? It's we're not always going to have everything that's, you know, warm and fuzzy and fluffy. We get that, right? And that's you know, true. And for all intents and purposes, I wouldn't have went to Hennepin Healthcare if that's what I was expecting.
Yes,
and if I can even add in addition to that, as I, you know, highlighted my boss, this is not her first rodeo in hearing. She's been in her role for 5 years, and just imagine what she's heard to even have her, because she was the first chief equity and inclusion officer that fit that role at Hennepin Healthcare, mm-hmm. and she's only been in that role for 5 years. So imagine what she came into when she arrived there. And so as she's proceeding to try to navigate that and build strategies, then encompassed my role, right? And so I'll answer yes with Hennepin Healthcare. Resources aren't at the same level as other organizations. We have to rely heavily on different things that are coming from the government, you know, and, you know, our population, our community population is different than others in other suburban areas. Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, we're going to be frank and transparent with that, right? So we're working under the construct of what we have. In that, what we are very intentional about, the fact that, you know, Tiffany and crew invited me here and I'm here, is right. just letting you know that we're taking it serious. And this is not just smoking mirrors or fluff that right. we're doing right here, is that we hear individuals like yourself who are frustrated, and we're not shying away from that. And what do we need to do next so that we can build a better place? And you mentioned you go in there and collect specimens, and you're disappointed in some of the things that you yeah. see and hear. You know what you could do is that you could fill out a survey and let us know. You can email and let us know, right? Let us know things that we need to do better. Some of the individuals, if I could just highlight, and I promise I'll get back to your question about the breast cancer screening, but we heard some of our Black women say, and I'm being 100 with this, is that some of the Black women who have to stay there for a long period of time, you know, my hair is not being, you know, it's rough, you know, I can't wrap it, you know, mm-hmm. It's what am I gonna do? The shampoos that are here yeah. are, you know, that it's not working on my texture. I don't have the combs, the brushes. And what we did intentionally with that, and I'm talking about my boss, found dollars, and now we have Black hair care products right. in our supply chain. And I'm not talking about just something that's, you know, we're talking the real deal. Cantu, right. you know, all
not
of that.
Blue Magic.
No.
You know, but just, you
ain't
know,
nothing right. wrong with Blue Magic.
Right, right. And I'm not shame Black, because I don't want Blue, whoever's part, I don't know if that's Johnson & Johnson. I'm not doing that. But
and it, I don't know.
We got to call.
Okay, but, you know, to answer with your awareness, please still get a mammogram. I get it, you know.
Yeah,
we're
gonna come back to that. We
okay,
to get
perfect.
The call
again,
we got to get that.
Yes, we got. I still ahead. Want ahead, to get her yeah. to get a mammogram.
I'm here. Okay,
Auntie Jackie.
Hey, Auntie Jackie. Hey, Auntie Jackie. Good morning.
I was trying to disguise myself. Anyway, I love this discussion, because as a woman, and I'm almost 73 years old, one of the things I got taught as a young girl was that you have to develop a trustful medical relationship. Mm-hmm. And when I relocated here from Seattle, and I was really surprised to see how many young women did not have an established relationship with mm-hmm. their doctor.
That's
and
right.
you have to have a trusting medical relationship, because this didn't just start with COVID. COVID just happened, but we've been adults for longer than with COVID. COVID
yes,
is
right. Thank you, Auntie Jackie.
So those trustful relationships really should be in place. Once you become an adult, you begin to do that. Now, the way to do that is always the biggest question. How? Interview your medical provider. Before yep. you select a primary care physician, interview them. When I moved here from Seattle, I asked some of the women in the office where I work, who's your gynecologist? Who's your internist? Who is, can I go see them? I made an appointment to interview them so that you can develop a feeling for, is this person right for me? And then when you go see your medical person, my doctor, now I've had her for 20 years, when she walks into the examining room, she goes, "Where's your list?" I write down everything that has happened to me since the last time I saw her that I want to question.
Yeah, I do too.
Ask those questions, and we go through those first, and we try to figure out why is this so, what is different, and we do that. So having an awareness is great. Asking questions is the best way for you to develop that trusting relationship with that medical person that you're with, and keep them around. Because my father used to say, get you a doctor that'll be around when you die, so that he know everything that happened to prevent you from dying.
Right. Thank you for calling, Aunt Jackie. So that's what we want to talk about. We was getting back to the early detection to make sure we pushing this agenda. Well, I'm not going to say agenda. This is very important in life.
Yes.
To get early detection.
Health and wellness. Yeah. We're pushing this health and wellness promotion.
I was going to say agenda. I don't know where that came from, but we really need to, because as young as 23 has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and that's been a high percentage in the black community.
Yes. And so, and I want to go back to the caller just to, you know, and I'm going to give my own personal account here, right? So when I very first went and got a mammogram, and so prior to that, you know, you go through your OB, and then they have their personal way of detecting, right? This is prior to a mammogram. And then it's time for the mammogram, right? So then I get the mammogram, and my very first mammogram, you guys, came back where there was something that was not right. Mm. This is the very first one, right? And this is after me years being with my OBGYN on a consistent basis. So then I had to go back and get another mammogram that was a little bit more intensive. And what it found out was that there wasn't anything there. And so thankfully, I was able to be relieved from that. But if I wouldn't have went and got the mammogram initially, that's something that's not detected just by the tactile that she mentioned, you know, that the OBGYNs do. And so going into that, and I know we're getting close to time, I really, really, really have to push that we have to make sure that we are intentional. And I hope it's okay that I call you Aunt Jackie, but Aunt Jackie, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about interview, advocate, you know, this is a team approach between you and your primary care provider. They will make sure to keep you on track for everything that you need as far as what screenings are needed, what vaccinations, because let's not forget about vaccinations, y'all. You know, what labs that need to be done, things of that nature. And then I want to just pivot slightly for the men, too. Colorectal screening is very important, too, for our men. Colorectal screening is the one screening that you can prevent a lot of cancers for the men. And so I really want to shoot out for the men to make sure that they also get that screening, because it's very prevalent in our black community, and we need our black kings to stay alive.
Is that the one that you could just send in your stool, right?
So you can talk to your primary care provider, and if you hit certain parameters, that might be an option for you, or there may be an option where it's more intensive. That's where you have that collaboration piece.
Right. I'm looking forward to this change with Hennepin Healthcare. What about you?
Of course, I know.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. We have got a lot of information in. We got an event coming up. You will be our keynote speaker.
Yes.
We're doing a a pre-Mother's
Day dinner celebration.
We got the Soulful Sounds of Ray Covington. He's going to be singing. You're going to be our keynote speaker. I cannot wait.
Yes.
You could go on our page to figure out the details. It's on May 11th, Saturday.
It's on May 11th. And not only that, you guys, but we're going to have people there for... If you want to bring resumes for the jobs, we're going to have, you know, if there's jobs that you're looking for at Hennepin Healthcare, they'll be talent acquisition.
Right.
And crossing fingers, it's not solidified.
Right, but we're trying
really, really hard, really, really hard. And I'm going to just put it into the universe, but it's not solidified, y'all. But we're hoping that we can get a mammogram machine and so that people can get screenings.
Yes.
But if not, we will have health literacy. There will be there the mayor of Richfield will be there, and so we're hoping to get other people.
Shout out to Shakopee Chevrolet, D. Jones Entertainment. We are a part of that as well.
The Four Opinions on the team.
And Dr. Miriam, thank you so much for coming out. If y'all want to, where's the contact information? You can say it real quick.
And so if you need to email, you can email at myriam.com. ROBY at hcmed.org.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for waking up with us. We're out.
We're out.